Somebody's got to teach our sound man how to turn it up back there. Can you guys turn that up back there? Come on. If we're going to listen to 80s tunes, we got to crank it up, guys. What's up with that soft music in the back? That's not how we play our music around here. All right, there we go. All right. We're going to have a sound meeting after church to talk about cranking up the 80s tunes. There is one thing that we believe in, that's cranking up the 80s. All right. We're starting a new series today called You're Too Old for That. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're too old for that. Come on, say it like your mama used to say it. You're too old for that. It's a phrase that anybody who's growing up at some point in your life has people tell you at times in your life, you're too old for that. It's time to grow up. It's time for you to be more responsible. It's time for you to take a next step in your growth, whether it's adolescence, the preteen years, whatever it is. Your son, you're much way too old not to brush your teeth. Why do I have to tell you every day to brush your teeth? Are you wearing deodorant yet? You're too old not to be wearing deodorant. The girls are going to think you stink, son. Wear the deodorant. Did you have a shower yet? You're too old for that. We have these times in our life raising our children. And we can just go on and on with the things in our life that at times people have to say, you're too old for that. Let's get right into our text, and then we'll get right in and break it down today. Our text for this series is found in 1 Corinthians. We see where Paul is writing to the Corinth church. The Corinth church is having a lot of immaturity going on. There are a lot of immature battles, and they're just very shallow. And Paul's really, he's ready to take them deep in the scripture and to challenge them to grow. But they're so stuck at the immaturity that Paul has to address them like this. And we find it in 1 Corinthians 3. Let's pick it up in verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as what? Everybody say it. As what? Spiritual people, but as carnal. So what Paul is saying is this, I want to talk to you as spiritual people, but instead I got to talk to you as carnal people. Carnal, we mean to be people who are driven by the flesh, okay? You don't have any spiritual discipline in your life. He goes, I'm wanting you to be spiritual people, but I'm having to talk to you as carnal. Look what he compares the carnal people to, as babes in Christ. He said, I fed you with milk, not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. Even now, you are still not able. He's saying, all right, you've been on the baby food long enough. But even now, you're still on the baby food. He goes, you're still battling with your flesh. You're still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? When he means mere men is this, he's saying, you're behaving like ordinary men who have not been saved. He goes, you're behaving like people who have never received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He goes, you're being called to step up into a spiritual realm, but yet you're acting like everybody else. You're acting just like every Joe out there who doesn't know who Jesus is, who hasn't had the salvation knowledge of who God is, who hasn't been filled with the Holy Spirit. He goes, you're still acting like just mere men instead of the spiritual men that I'm calling you to walk in, that God's called us to walk in. So he opens up the letter with this, and then he almost closes it with this in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's pick it up there. 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 11 and 12. He goes, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, everybody say, became a man. Where's Mike Gundy when you need him? I'm a man. I became a man. I put away the childish things. Isn't this cool? He goes, I became a man, I put away childish things, for now we see in a mirror dimly. He goes, right now, he goes, I'm seeing kind of dimly my reflection. I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known. He's saying this right now as a carnal person, immature, the reflection is really very dim. He goes, but when I become into the spiritual realm that God wants me to be, I'm known fully. He's saying I'm known as a spiritual person. I'm known as someone who reflects Christ in my life. So in our life, we have this problem that Paul is addressing. It's basically this, is saying that you're too old for that. You're still acting way too spiritually immature for this season of your life. Now, let's make it clear. Paul is teaching the church here. He's not talking to the non-Christians. He's talking to those who are already Christians, okay? This message was going out to the Corinth church. And so Paul is challenging the Christians head on and saying, listen, it's a season that you've been in of being a babe, but now it's time for you to step it up. It's time for you to mature and to go to a deeper level. Today, how many ever had that thought? You know, you're too old for that. You know, I was thinking about this today, and I've been so proud of Pastor Jeremiah, because Pastor Jeremiah, man, he got some new wheels the other day. How many like it when we get new transportation? Don't you love it? I mean, that's a blessing for God. When Pastor Jeremiah gets some new wheels, he got some new wheels. Pastor Jeremiah, come and show us your new wheels you got here. Pastor Jeremiah got some new wheels. He's still driving kind of crazy, but he got some new wheels. I like the cape. The cape looks really good on you, Pastor Jeremiah. Now, first of all, if I said to you, would you be surprised that Pastor Jeremiah is driving that? You would say, no, of course. He's just crazy enough to drive that. That's why I got him driving it today. But that's really his son's, Isaac, who's six. That's really his big wheel that he's riding. Now, it wouldn't surprise you to see him maybe driving it with Isaac in the driveway. But if you was going down the range line on your way to work, and you look over out the window next to you, and you see Pastor Jeremiah going, hey, what's up? You're like, aren't you a little too old for that, Pastor Jeremiah? Wearing the cape, going down range line on the big wheel. You're a little past that, aren't you? We wouldn't expect that to happen. One person would, okay. But for many of us here, the problem is this, that many of us here, we're walking around like this today. We still got on spiritual diapers. Oh, if we could really take away and let people see, yeah, you know, diapers are cool when they're on babies. You know, you do things to your babies that you wouldn't do to anybody else, okay? If your teenage son says, Mom, can you come and wipe me? Little creepy. You're too old for that. Wipe yourself. But when the baby's crying, you go change him. And you first get him home in the hospital. Oh, look at you with me, little pellets, a little poo. It's cute then. It's not cute when you're wearing diapers as an adult. Some of you are wearing them this morning. We won't call you out, but it's all right. Anybody hungry, ready for lunch here in this room? Anybody ready for lunch in this room? I gotta get going. I'm getting hungry. I need something to eat. I'm kind of starving. Anybody got anything to eat for me? All right, here we go. That's what I'm talking about. This is a man at the PG's own heart right here. All right, thank you. Anybody want to join me? Anybody hungry in the room today? Raise your hand if you're hungry. Are you hungry? Yeah, we're hungry, aren't we? All right. Would you guys care if I eat in front of you today? I wouldn't make you hungry by eating in front of you, would I? Would that be cruel for me to eat in front of you? How many would love to have some good beef this morning? Would you like to have that? How about some beef and mixed vegetables right there? You'd love to have that, wouldn't you? You'd love to have your veggies right here and your fruit right here. Oh, this looks so appetizing, doesn't it? Some of you saw the Sonic bag and you're like, ooh, I wish I could bite into that hamburger. You didn't realize I was carrying out some baby food. Your appetite's not so hungry now, is it? You're not so wanting what's in the sack now. Why? Because it's baby food. I'm not a baby. So this is what Paul was getting at. He was saying, you're still here. You're still here. I'm telling you what, I'm going to preach today, so you better be ready. I'm getting ready to preach hard today. This is going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. I'm going to preach my voice out today. I need something to drink. Somebody better give me something to drink today. All right, thanks. Thanks, son. There you go. All right. Appreciate that. I mean, no milk. It does the body good. Milk. It's hard to be manly holding this bottle, isn't it? This bottle was in my fridge last night getting ready, and my kids opened up the door and saw the bottle in there like, Mom, Dad, you got something you want to tell us? Now, you guys, it wouldn't surprise you maybe that I would drink milk, but it would surprise you if you walked into the restaurant tomorrow at lunch and saw Pastor Gene drinking from a bottle. Aren't you too old for that, Pastor? You see, this is what Paul was getting at. He's saying, this is the way that you and I look to God, that God at some point is saying, all right, you've been on the bottle long enough. It's time for you to move and regress on. You've been in that baby food long enough. It's time for you to mature and go on to some deeper things in God. And sad to say, for many of us here in this room, we're stuck right there. We're stuck at the immature stage where our deep level is not deep at all. Matter of fact, it's very childish in God. And that's okay for a season. We'll get to that in a later. That's okay for a certain season. But there comes a time, Paul says, all right, I gave you milk when you needed milk. But now I need to go on and progress and give you some deeper things, and you're still hanging on to the milk. I can't get you past 101 to take you to 102. He goes, I want to take you to a deeper insight of what God's will is for your life, but you're still stuck at the peddly things that are milk to the new Christian. And he goes, you've been with God way too long. You're way too old for that. Spiritually, you're way too old for that. You see, God judges us differently. When we see people, according to 1 Samuel 16, look what it says here. He says, God, what? Man looks at the outward appearance. But what does God look at? The heart. He says, they were judging him. Oh, he's great in physical stature. He looks mature physically. To the naked eye, he looks mature, right? Wow, he looks like he should be it. And he goes, no. God doesn't judge by that kind of maturity. When God judges our maturity, he looks at what's going on the inside. He doesn't look at your age on the outside. He looks what's going on the inside. And says, there is how I judge maturity. What's going on in your heart? Could it be in our life today? Look at this. Could it be that God is looking at us being pushed around in our spiritual strollers, wearing our spiritual diapers, drinking our spiritual milk, and he's saying to you and I, you have been with me way too long to still be doing that? Could he be talking to us today, saying, man, you've been with me way too long to still be spiritually immature this much? He's calling us to go to a deeper level. Now, when our kids are born, we expect them to happen to grow naturally, right? It's just a natural thing. We expect our children to grow. When our children do not grow naturally, it sets off red flags for us to get help. We take them to the doctor and find out, what is something wrong with the genetics? Is there something happening to them? Is there something that's causing them not to grow? They're not gaining weight. They're losing weight. They're not getting taller. They've been stuck at the same height at a young age when they should be growing. Something's wrong. So we take them to the doctor and find out if there's anything we can do to fix the problem, or we seek out help and find out what's going on. It will set off all kinds of red flags, right? Moms, you would notice that. It would concern you. Dads, it would concern you if your children didn't grow physically. But why doesn't it not concern us when we grow spiritually? Why doesn't it set off red flags when we don't see ourselves growing spiritually? We should have the same kind of concern in our lives and say, you know what? I'm not growing spiritually the way I should. We should set off those red flags, because just as we are expected to grow naturally, we should also be growing spiritually. Look at the statement I made here next. When spiritual growth is not happening, something is wrong. Now, listen, I'm not talking about you can't go through a season of a dry spot. I'm not talking about maybe when you get to one level that you're not maybe there for a while. But there should be growth happening at some point in your Christian walk. Okay? All of us should be seeing this. Paul is speaking to the church saying, I am observing your spiritual diet, and it is not very good. You should be eating more food than baby food right now. He goes, spiritually, you're eating baby food. He goes, really? At your age and God, you should be ready to take on some deeper things in God. That's what he was saying. So look at this first law here. The first spiritual goal we face is this. We face salvation, right? But it doesn't stop there. God wants and expects us to mature. It's not just about being saved. After we're saved, he says there comes a time when you need to learn to mature, and he expects it out of us. If salvation was the only goal, then why doesn't he beam us up, Scotty, to heaven as soon as we're saved? I'm saved. Beam me up, God. Come on now. All you trickies out there. Why does he leave us here? Because he expects us to stay here. He's got an assignment for us, and he expects us to grow spiritually. We're all called to mature. Look what 2 Corinthians 3:18 says. But we all, with unveiled faces, behold as a mirror, reflection, right? Reflection of what? The glory of the Lord. Are being transformed. What happens? You're maturing, right? You're maturing, you're transforming into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this verse keeps popping up in every series we do lately, doesn't it? It seems like the Holy Spirit is trying to say something to us, Destiny, and I hope that you are catching this and letting it challenge your heart, that we're called to go from glory to glory. We're called to be transformed into His image. When people see us, it says the mirror, reflection of what? When they look into the mirror, they should, our life should be a mirror of who God is. When they look at me, they should see Christ at work in my life. That's what He's talking about. And He goes, and as you do that, you're being transformed, maturing from glory to glory. That means at the first level, I receive Christ as my salvation. But after that, He calls me into a higher dimension, from glory to glory. And I'm at a season there. And then He says, all right, son, step it up a little more. And I grow a little more and I walk this season out. And He says, all right, now I want you to go up to a different level. Now go this way and walk this path out. And at some point, I'm calling you to a different stage. It's always a process. The Christian faith is always a process of maturing in Christ. We're called to go from glory to glory, deeper to deeper, higher to higher. But some of you here today, so Pastor, I'm not wearing any spiritual diapers. I've graduated out of my spiritual diapers. Yeah, but you sure got some spiritual pull-ups on. You got big boy diapers on. Now, come on, if truth be known, how many of our kids wore pull-ups a lot longer than they really should have? But they got by with it because they could hide them under their big boy pants. And for some of us here, we've graduated out of diapers. The pull-ups, but truth be known, some of us are still wearing a church of pull-ups. I'm not wearing my pull-ups. You're wearing your underoos. All right, let's just go there. You know what I'm talking about? At some point, we got to say, I am growing and growing. And God's saying, I've got to take you to a different level. See, for this is the problem, okay? I'm just going to talk it very plain here. For some of us here, we've been wearing our spiritual mullets way too long. Now, if you got a mullet today, this message is not against you, okay? But Pastor Gene is just going to give it to you because I had a mullet at one time in my life, okay? That's true. But Jeremiah has known me a long time. Pastor Gene knows. I had a mullet, not spiritually, but I had a mullet at one time in the 80s and even in the early 90s. And so, thank God I married a hairdresser who delivered me from that spirit of the mullet. Ow! She said, come out in the name of Jesus. She was like Delilah. I was like Samson. She just cut that hair on off. Hallelujah. But for some of us here, you know, this is the worst thing about people who've been wearing a mullet all these years. You know, it used to be short in the front and long in the back. And now it's just long in the back and bald in the front. That's the worst, isn't it? They're like, you can grow your hair out all you want to in the back. You can grow it down to the middle of your back if you want to, but you still bald at the top. It ain't covering nothing at the top. You can take it and flip it over and swirl it around all you want to, but we all know you're going bald. Let me just give it to you. You're going bald, and the mullet doesn't cover it up. For some of us, we just got to face the fact and say, it's time to cut the mullet. See, spiritually, some of us look that way. You know, you walk to Walmart and you have those same thoughts all the time, don't you? Some of you had that same thought. God needs to cut his mullet. But sometimes God looks at us and says, man, that person needs a change. They've been doing the same thing for 20 years, 30 years, and they haven't grown in 20, 30 years. They're still living at the same faith level. They're still giving at the same faith level. They're still serving at the same faith level. They're still struggling with the same little things they struggled with back then. They still talk the same way they did 20, 30 years ago. They're still negative the way we did 30 years ago. They still gossip the way they did 30 years ago. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know he's talking to you, not me today. See, God is calling us to go to a different place. God is calling us to go higher. Have you ever called for your kids and they didn't respond? Does that aggravate you? When you know your kids can hear you, and you're like, hey, we're leaving. Time to go. And you call them by name and they don't respond. What usually happens when you call them a couple times and they don't respond? What happens? You're going to march yourself right in there, right? You're going to grab them by the back of their collar and you're going to pull them to where you want to go. This is no lie. One time when I was a teenager, we were having a party at a friend's house, a get together, and one of the guys there, his mom was pretty strict, and she had a curfew for him at a certain time. And this is back when we had cell phones where you could just call home and say, I'm all right, I'm safe, you know, I'm running a few minutes late, we're doing this or that. The games went long, and we're all there together, and he's about 15 minutes, 20 minutes late for his curfew. And all of a sudden, all the friends are there, and we're having fun. All of a sudden, his mom pulls up in front of all the friends. She gets out in her bathrobe and walks right in the middle. In her bathrobe, grabs him by the ear and says, I told you to be home at this time, and you were late. I've been very sick about you. Where you been? And you're not going to go anywhere for two more weeks. Blah, 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 blah. He's like, nah, 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 right in front of all of his friends. Now, God's calling us to go higher. And the question is, are we going to go kicking and screaming? Or are we going to say, God, I voluntarily want to grow in you. God, take me to where you're trying to take me. God, let me be pliable. God, let me be teachable. God, let me go to where you're trying to take me to go. Don't make this thing painful, because he can. Ask Jonah. When we don't heed his voice, he'll make it painful if we need to. Because why? Because he will do as a parent what's necessary to get us to the place he's calling us to be. So I want to learn to say, God, I want to grow in a way that's not so painful. I want to learn to hear and heed the call of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to learn not just to have knowledge of who God is, but I want to heed to the voice of the Holy Spirit in my life so that I can grow to the level he's calling me to go. And I can go where he's leading me without all the pain that follows. We can avoid some things in our life if we'll just learn to go, because God is calling us higher. Destiny Church, let me say this to you. This is a word from the Lord today for us. He is calling us to a season of going higher. He's calling you to go higher. For many of you, you've been stuck at the same place for far too long. And God says, I'm calling you to grow and to go higher. He's calling us to go higher in our walk with him. He looked at Abraham and he said, your name's Abram. But I'm going to call you a father of many nations. You don't have a son yet, but you're going to be a father of many nations. They're going to number the stars in the sky. You're going to be one of the most prosperous, wealthy men in the nation. And people see you as Abram, but I see the Abraham inside of you, and I'm calling him out. He looks at Peter and says, everybody else sees you as a goof. They see you as a person who's quick-tempered and who always sticks his foot in his mouth, is always blowing it. But I see you as a rock. And upon this rock, I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He says, I see you as the Peter, the rock, not the Peter who denies. I see you as a person you're going to be, and I'm calling you out of that, Peter, to a new man. Other people see you as Saul. They see you as Saul, the person who persecuted me and who denied me and thought he was doing things in God's name. But listen, I see you as a person whose scales come off your eyes. And I see your name changed to Paul. And I see you as a man who's going to change the face of the New Testament church. I see a man who's going to see things spiritually that no man's ever seen. He's going to hear my voice. He's going to write it down. He's going to spend time in prison. He's going to change. He's going to plant churches all across the world. But I see a Paul when others see a Saul. You see, God is saying to you and I, is there somebody inside of you and I that he's wanting to call out? He's wanting to look into your life and call you out and say, it's time to mature. Why? Because I have a season of glory to glory where I'm going to call you out when you're going to go beyond who you thought you were. I'm going to take you beyond your failure. I'm going to take you beyond your adultery. I'm going to take you beyond your moral failures in your life. I'm going to take you beyond the mess ups. I'm going to take you beyond the abuse. I'm going to take you beyond the pain. And I've got a new name for you. I'm calling you out of that place. I've got to mature. Say, God, you're calling me to a different level. I refuse to stay the same. Turn to somebody and say, God is good. Amen. Woo. He is calling us out to a deeper level. It's about maturing. The inner man, he's calling us to go to a different level. See, God's timeline for growth is not our timeline. Remember the base scripture we used for the last series, Stay Implanted, in Psalms chapter 1. It reminds us again, let's look at it again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Look what it says, that brings forth whose fruit? That brings forth its fruit in whose season? Which says this, that you and I, we all have seasons. And sometimes God looks at a tree and says, it's not very mature, but I'm going to accelerate its growth, and it's going to produce fruit prematurely. I'm going to call that tree to bring fruit. Other trees, he's going to make you plant for a long time. It may be seasons when you don't have the fruit that you're looking for, but stay there, because God, every one of us has our own season, our own timeline, and God is calling us out. Don't compare yourself. That's the worst thing you can do, is compare yourself to somebody else. I'm maturing, but I'm more mature than them, Pastor. You know, as a pastor, I can get right in that trap. I can get in the trap of, if I compare myself to other guys I know, I'm like, man, those guys, boy, they're doing so much more than me. They've been going just a few years more than me, and look how far they are, low they're along. And I'm like, wah, wah, wah. I feel bad about myself. I can look at other pastors and go, boy, you know, they've been going this thing three times as long as me. Boy, we've got more people than them. I build myself up. Both are wrong. No, don't compare. Your season is not their season. I compare against myself. I say, God, you called me to go from glory to glory. My season looks different. And each season is different in my life. And God is calling me to go from season to season, of maturity to maturity, that he can call out of me the person I used to be and bring out the person that he sees me to be. God has given pastors the assignment of teaching and training you to grow and to go higher. Look at the scripture. We read this scripture a couple weeks ago, Pastor Tom and I, when we were teaching. Let's read it again today. And he himself gave, talking about God, gave himself some of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the what? The what? Let's all say, for the what? Equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. The word equipping here means maturing. So he's given the fivefold ministry to help mature the saints. That's the Christians. We're not talking about a team in New Orleans today. This is you and I, Christians. He goes, he's given the fivefold ministry to train, to mature the saints, the church, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of Christ. Equipping means maturing. So let's answer this question today. So why is God trying to mature me? What is he trying to mature me for? Are you ready for this? He's trying to mature you and I for this, for ministry. Simply put, he's trying to mature every one of us for ministry, because every one of us are called for ministry. I'm not called to be a pastor. Great. But you're called to minister. We're all called to minister. He says some are called to the temple, and some are called to the marketplace, but we're all called to ministry. And we've all been given giftings, and we're all become one body. We all have things that God is trying to mature you so that you can minister the way he wants you to minister. Some of you minister at your job, in your school, in your workplace. He wants you to be the best Christian teacher in your school you can be. He wants you to be the best employee at that hospital you can be. He wants you to be the best person in your office you can be that represents him and ministers to other people who need to know. He wants you to be that light in the gym. When you go to the gym, people look and say, there's something different about that guy. There's something different about that girl. He wants you to reflect him. He's maturing us for the works of ministry. That's what it's all about. But the problem is this, that we get saved. Many of us get saved. Yay, I accept Christ. I'm on his team. And we take our seat in the spiritual bleachers of life. And we're watching the game go on. Look at those pastors down there. Look at those volunteers down there serving and giving. Hooray, God, we're winning. Yay, yay. And every once in a while we give a, woo, spiritual wave. We give our favorite song. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, it's over. All right, I'm done. And we sit on a spiritual sideline, and God is trying to equip you and train you so that you can get out of the stands and walk down and get involved in the game. He's maturing you to be active part of the ministry. This is why he's calling us to be people. He called the pastors to be equippers, the coaches who train, who teach you the plays, who teach you the fundamentals so that you can get into the game and be productive. Now, one of the great things about any good coach will tell you this. When you're teaching kids, that you have kids at all different age levels and different maturity levels. Some kids come in just natural athletes, and you teach them, and boom, they got it, and they're really good. And other kids are slower developers, and you got to take time to train them. Do we still train them? Yes. Why? Because they learn season after season. They learn fundamentals, and even though they're not, the season hasn't come of maturity, you wait and see what happens in junior high. They stick it out. In high school, it's one of the greatest things to see kids I've coached from third grade through sixth grade. Now, when I go watch my son play in junior high, some of these guys who never started it down with us because they were just not mature yet and it wasn't their time, that they've grown, their bodies matured, and they're growing, and all of a sudden the light came on, and they're taking all those things we taught them, and they're applying it, and they're starting now, and they're playing in the games now, and they're being productive. Why? Because it wasn't their season, but their season is now. You see, for all of us, that season doesn't always happen right away. For some of us, we're being perfected. We're being trained. Why? For the season that God is calling us to be. And he's called the people in the fivefold ministry to equip us, to train us. You're being taught every week. Why? Because God expects you to grow. He expects you to learn your playbook. That's why we're reading one chapter a day for 30 days. Why? I expect you to know your playbook. I expect you to read it and look it over. I expect you to take the lesson plans that we're giving and say, God, how can I take this and change my life? How can I learn to apply this to my life? Anybody here ever invest in stocks? Raise your hand if you ever invested in stocks. All right. Tom, why did you invest in stocks?
Money, money, money! Money!
We invest in our 401ks or into our IRAs or to the stock market. We invest. Why? Because we expect a return, right? Right? We expect that thing to mature, right? Okay, some of you are going to get a revelation that you never had before. Because Scripture says this. It says that you and I were bought with a price. So could it be this, that you and I, we're bought with a price, and God is looking for his investment to mature. Do we invest our money saying, I hope that thing doesn't grow? No. I'm going to invest in this 401k, and I hope the market falls out. And I hope it never grows. See, Jesus dealt with the spirit when he talked about the parable of the talents. He expects the things he's given us to grow. He expects it to mature. Some may mature at a faster rate. Some may be slowly maturing, but one thing he expects the investment to mature. He invested his son. We were bought with a price, and he expects you and I to mature. He's looking for a return on his investment. He expects that we're going to grow in him. We're going to grow, and our investment is going to grow. It's going to grow us. He's looking to mature us. Paul gives three levels of maturity today. I'm going to give them to you as we close. He locks about three levels you find Paul talking about. First of all, he names the babe. He says, the babe. If all you college guys, he's talking about, he's not talking about girls here, okay? He's talking about those who are immature. He says, the babe. The babe. We read it a while ago. He said, you're like babes. You're carnal. See, the babe is the born-again Christian who has not had time to be taught or enough time to be exposed to the spiritual information that leads to transformation. They get saved and they don't know yet. They haven't been taught yet. They haven't had enough time to sit in the teaching. They haven't had time to understand God's word. And so there's going to be a season when they're considered spiritual babes. They're going to like, why does God want me to give? Why does God want me to come and be planted? Why does God want me to pray? Why does he want me to read the scripture for? Why all these questions? And they have questions, and that's okay. That's okay for them to have those questions because they're spiritual babes. They should have those questions. They should be struggling with these decisions. They should be working through this because they're babes. We don't expect our babies to come along and be mature right away. We expect them to push the boundaries, don't we? We expect them to not follow the rules all the time. We know it's going to be a learning curve and process for them to mature. You can't expect a new Christian to act mature when they haven't had enough time to hear and apply the Word of God to their life. The second part he does, this is where most of us are at today. He talks about the carnal Christians. It's the second level. It's the carnal Christian. This is the Christians who have been exposed to the information and have walked with God long enough to have grown to the next level, but choose to walk in their flesh. He calls them carnal Christians. You're all right. You've been with God long enough. You've been walking with God long enough. You've heard enough lessons. You've been taught enough of life application of the Scripture that you should not be at the level you're at right now. You shouldn't be struggling with the same things year in, year out, year in, year out. When you've been taught, there's a better way, a different way to God's standard. He says, listen, you're carnal. I want to take you to another level, but you're carnal. You're stuck letting your flesh rule you. Your value system is the same as you had before you were saved. He's like, your value system is still the same as you were before you were saved. No, after I get saved, my value system, the more I learn about God, the more my values should reflect what God wants. My value says, hey, God, I want to please you. My value says, God, I want to do things that line up according to your teachings. God, I want to line my values up to reflect who you are in my life. And the more I understand those values, my values change. The more I understand who you are, the more I change. But some of us here, we hear all that, but our values are still the same as we've had before we were saved. And it's this, that I'll still do things the way I want to do it, Pastor. And we're stuck there. Are we saved? Yeah. But Paul calls us carnal. We're not growing. We're not maturing. We've received a new heart, but we're still operating with the old mind. Let me say again. We received a new heart, but we're still operating with the old mind. We got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Listen, we got to let this happen. Look what Romans 12:2 says. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be what? Be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what's God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'm going to give you a statement here. You're surely winning me a lot of friends this morning. Are you ready for the statement? Okay. We need to stop expecting the lost people to act saved. And the saved people to stop acting lost. Thank you for that two amens right there. Somebody needs to write that down. That needs to be tweeted out, Facebooked out, or something today. We need to stop expecting. So many of us, we expect all these new Christians or people who aren't saved yet to come in, change, acting like we do, talking like we do, dressing like we do, doing the things that we think are morally right according to God's Word, and they never had a chance to get to Jesus. They never had a chance to be exposed to who He really is, have enough teaching to know they need to change. And we try to push them out the door or condemn them or judge them while they're still babes. They're babes. Let them grow in God. And on the same aspect, we got other people. They've been here a long time. They've been with God a long time. You've been walking God a long time, and you haven't changed one bit. There's something wrong with that as well. Because as a Christian, you should want to change to please the heart of God. You should be maturing happening. There should be growth happening. When growth, spiritual growth is not happening, there's something spiritually unhealthy in our lives. I want God to grow me. I want Him to change me. So what does this stage look like, this next stage? The stage is number three, the mature Christian. He talks about three stages, the mature Christian. Let me say this to you. It's not like we get saved at stage one, we're babes in Christ, we're right here, and then we take a step up, all right, now we're carnal Christians, and then we finally make it to mature Christians, and then we stop, okay? Because this last stage, it's an incline. It's always growing. We're always, when you get at last stage, it's not you, all right, I've arrived, I'm here, na 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 na. You're not here yet. No, it's I'm always going to be going from glory to glory, from season to season in God. I'm always striving to grow into the person God's calling me to be. Okay, so it's not a place of arrival, but it's a place where you say, you know what? I've stepped into mature Christian. All right, you ready to write this down? I'm going to give you the deep theological definition of what a mature Christian really looks like. Are you ready? This is deep. Are you ready? What does this stage look like, the mature Christian? It looks like this. Jesus. That's what it looks like. The mature Christian, people look at you and say, there's Jesus. Yeah. I see Jesus' kind words. I see Jesus' patience. I see Jesus' love. I see forgiveness. I see their giving heart. I see them changing. Yeah. I see Jesus in them. That's what maturity looks like. When people see you and you can reflect who God is in your life. They see you as a mirror and you reflect God. You say, there's Jesus. That's what maturing looks like in the New Testament church. I used to think when I was growing up that, and as a young Christian and young minister, that knowledge was maturity. So I read all the books I could read about Christianity and about the Bible and studied the Bible. And I thought, you know, the more scripture I can memorize and the more things I have knowledge, the more mature I am. To be a seasoned pastor, I've got to have all this knowledge. And the problem is this, I had all this knowledge, but I couldn't live any of it. That can make you shocked, because that shouldn't surprise you, really. I had all this knowledge, but I couldn't apply any of it to my life. Why? Because I hadn't submitted myself to the Holy Spirit yet in my life. It's not enough just to have the knowledge. There comes a point in your life where you got to submit your will to the Holy Spirit. Knowledge plus submission to the Holy Spirit equals spiritual maturity. Because the Holy Spirit is going to lead me to act like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is going to lead me to talk like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is going to lead me when I want to punch that guy out at the game. He's going to lead me and say, Mark, hold me back. That's what he's going to say. Do I have times when I fail? Yeah, I fail miserable. Not perfect. And I'm still maturing. I'm still learning. See, some of you think, oh, you're a pastor. You've got this special Jesus juice that helps you. You don't struggle like us, pastor. You don't understand what it is. No. I've got the giftings of a pastor. But I've still got to learn to mature in Christ just like you. I still got to apply the knowledge that's been given. Are you following me? What's going on here? See, we're all responsible for what's been given to us to begin to apply it to our life and make it happen. This is going to be a good series. I hope you're ready. It's going to challenge us to say, you know what? Some things in my life I need to let go of. I'm just a little too old for some of these things. I'm still stuck at a level of faith that I've been at a long time. And God's calling me to a new season. Yeah, I've been an introvert way too long. God's calling me to break out of my shell and get involved. Yeah, okay, God, that's me. God, I've been hanging on to my money way too long. God, you're calling me to learn to be a giver. Lord, I've been selfish with my time way too long. You're calling me to serve. God, I haven't been seeking your will on how to talk, and I've been just shooting off my mouth way too much. I need to learn to filter and let you control my mouth. Lord, I've been so many areas in our life. God's going to speak to us. He says this, I want you to grow. I'm ready to mature. How many here today as musicians come and say, Pastor, I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to learn to let go of some things that Paul said are the spiritual babe things. And I want to learn to say, I'm ready to take on the Spirit of Christ. I want to learn to go deeper in my relationship with Him. This is going to be a series that challenges us to go deeper. It ain't going to just make you feel good all the time. It's going to come in. It's going to challenge you at the core of who we are to say, yeah, there's some things I need to let go. For all of us here, we're at different seasons. You're at different levels. I'm not expecting some of you to be at the level some other people are. But there's others of you here, you've been a long time. You've been coming long enough, and you're still doing the same things. And you know it's wrong. You need to let God help you move past that barrier in your life and say, I'm ready to break through some of those barriers, Pastor. I'm tired of letting my flesh rule, being that carnal Christian. I want to step toward the maturity in Christ. Some of you say, I'm a mature Christian, Pastor, but I've been at this level a long time. I want God to refire me. I want God to put a new passion for me to go deeper in Him. For others of you here, you're just babes. You say, Pastor, I just want to be a sponge. I want God to open me up like a sponge, and I want to learn how to transform into the image of Christ. I pray, some of you are praying, I pray, and God, I want my mind to be open, my heart to be open. I want to learn everything I can and how to transform into the person God's calling me to be. You're going to make mistakes along the way. It's okay. That's all right. It's the stage you're at. I just said, I'm not going to stay there. I'm open. That's you today. Can you raise your hands? That's me, Pastor. I'm ready. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. We're going to close with a song. And if you want to step into agreement with that word that was spoken over your life today, I'm going to invite you to come to the front and join us as we close the song. We're simply saying, God, I'm just stepping into agreement with that word that was spoken on my life today. As we close out with this last song, it says, we look to Yahweh. Our hope is in Him. Our help is in Him. Our strength is in the Lord today. Let's submit our life to Him and say, God, take me deeper. Take me wider. Stretch me, God. Help me let go of things in my life that are holding me back. Step into the front, guys. Make room for those coming in. And say, let's give our heart to the Lord this morning.
Our God, He lives forever. And He reigns in power and love. So let earth bow down before Him, for He is exalted. We look to Yahweh, forever Yahweh. Ooh.
Your hands to the Lord this morning. Father, I thank you, God, that we are learning to let go of the childish things in our life. We say yes to your will. God, help us to let go of the things that have been keeping us down. Help us to let go of the immature things in our life. God, I pray that you would take us to a new level. God, you would take us to a higher dimension from glory to glory. And God, we would willingly lay down the things that you're asking us to let go of. And we won't walk in fear. But God, we'll let go of our immaturity, our spiritual maturity, and we'll step out in faith and say yes to your will, God, in our life. That God, you're calling us to go deeper, wider. And God, we say yes to you. We don't resist your call. But Father, we say yes to the call of the Lord. We don't resist your voice. We say yes to your voice. And God, call us, take us, lead us to a higher level, a higher dimension. And we say yes. And amen. Put your hands together if you agree with that word this morning. Pastor TJ wants to pray this morning.
Hey, real quick. How many of us love our pastor and the words that he feeds into us each and every time? I think we can do better than that for the man of God that gives us the word. Pastor Gene is going to be traveling out this week. He's going to be gone all week to speak at several different conferences and things like that. He's going to be doing that all year, and it's long overdue if you ask me. So now we get to share him with the world, and I just felt led to impart into him. He prays over us. He ministers to us all the time. So let's in turn, let's reach our hands out to our pastor right now as we pray for him. Justin, will you pray for Pastor as he goes?
Dear God, first of all, we want to thank you for the gift that our pastor is to us. And God, for all the times that he's poured into us, God, Lord, we pray right now, God, that as he prepares to travel, God, that you would pour into him. And God, that you would present him, God, as a gift, Lord, to every person who hears him speak over this next week, God. Lord, even as he pours and pours and pours, God, we pray that he would not grow tired, God. Lord, we pray, God, that his voice would not give out, God. Lord, but if anything, God, after each engagement, God, you would fire him up just a bit more, God, than the occasion before it, God. And we pray, God, that as you set him afire, God, Lord, that he would be a living flame, God, Lord, setting fire to every venue, God, Lord, to every heart and every soul who hears the word that you've placed on his heart to give to them, Lord Jesus. And God, we pray, God, that at the end of this week, God, Lord, that he not be tired, God, But Lord, that you would energize him, God, with vision, God. Lord, that you would energize him with purpose, God. Lord, that you would energize him, Lord, with compassion, God, that he's never known before, God, for your kingdom, God, and for the people that you have in your kingdom, Lord Jesus. God, we love him, God. Lord, we love you, God, for giving him and Pastor Mel to us as a body, God. Lord, we just speak blessing over them and their family, God, right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. God is good. God is good. You guys, turn to somebody, give them a high five, big hug, and say, God is good. Listen, don't forget, we got live groups tonight. Gap will be in the back. If you haven't signed up for the marriage retreat, please, please do so before you leave today. God bless you.